Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Who is risen?
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is risen indeed. And guess what? He still is risen. Christ didn't stop being risen once Easter Day was over. And so, the Easter season, which we're actually coming to a close to, continues on. And with that, the Easter joy continues. So today is the sixth Sunday of Easter, 35 days into the 50-day period that is the Easter celebration. So our lessons this morning that you just heard taken from the book of Acts and also from Peter's first epistle, and then of course the Gospel of St. John. We see that same hope that we have today radiating back then. The Easter joy keeps ringing long, long after the day that Christ rose. So it's that Easter joy and strength that produces hope. So first let's hear God's word that is given to us through the appointed Easter season gradual. That's actually in your insert and bullet. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands and has put all things under his feet. Amen. So Christ is the one that establishes his church as a living, loving family. And you're all part of it. Okay? A living, loving family. Now, how do you hear that when you first hear that statement, a living, loving family? And how do you respond? Do you hear it perhaps as a heavy demand? Something that maybe we can't possibly do? Or do you hear it perhaps as a gift, something Christ has graciously made all of us part of? Does Christ call to be a living, loving family sound like perhaps a burden, causing maybe some pressure and anxiety and what our responsibilities might be? So how do we hear it? And how, most importantly, do we manage to live together as a living, loving family? So these are all questions that we'll spend just a moment exploring this morning. A living, loving family. So these things come clear to us through Jesus' words today in the Holy Gospel. In the historical context, we are at the portion of St. John in his Gospel relating that what was taking place with the disciples on Maundy Thursday, the night in which he would be betrayed. So after the Passover supper and before traveling to the garden, Jesus then speaks to his disciples. So we hear a portion of that discourse in our gospel reading. Jesus is leaving them. He tells them, I'm going away very soon here. Soon he'll be taken from them and they will no longer see him. Jesus is preparing this tight-knit group of disciples for his departure. He's giving them instructions on how to conduct themselves when he's gone. And more than that, he's giving them the courage and the comfort for when he's gone. It's both. Jesus equipping and instructing them. It's not one or the other, it's both. The courage and comfort Jesus imparts to them all will enable them to live out his instructions. And so it is for us. Our Lord gives us the courage and the comfort we need to be his living, loving family, even though we don't see him with our eyes. So what exactly are Jesus' instructions to us? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And again, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So Jesus is telling us, if you love me, keep my commandments. That'll show him that we love him. To say that we love Jesus and not keep his commandments, well, of course, that would be a contradiction. If you love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Now, in the immediate context of what Jesus is saying to his disciples, the primary commandment he's referring to is that one great commandment, to love one another. I'm so happy. I have not seen it for quite some time in the process of the worship service to have people actually reconnect, passing the peace. You know, we all know what the history of how that kind of disappeared with COVID. And it's wonderful that you folks do that here in this congregation. A small but very important sign of your connectivity and your love for one another. Very important. So that is the primary commandment. A new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. Notice that the love that Jesus commands is the same love he himself not only embodies, but demonstrates. It's just as I have loved you kind of love. So how has Jesus loved his disciples? Again, in the immediate context of our reading, we have seen his love in action. Jesus gets down on his knees and washes the feet of his disciples. The master now becomes the servant and shows it all in love. Jesus says this is the kind of love that we should show to love one another. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, and you also should do just as I have done to you. So this is an example, one example of Christ's love in action. And is very humble and as a servant. And it sheds light on what it means for us to love one another. He has loved us, and thus to love Jesus and to keep his commandments. So I have to ask, are there people in your life for you to love? Sounds a little bit rhetorical. But we all know that sometimes it's really, really hard to love some folks. I ask you again, are there people in this congregation, this little family of saints and disciples at St. James, do you love each other with that kind of love? Are there church members here, or maybe they're not here this morning, but they're still part of the congregation, who are brothers and sisters of yours, for you to forgive, or to help, or maybe even to serve? I bet that if we keep our eyes and ears open and spend together time as a family does, we can discover even more opportunities to love one another. Choice is yours. But note that the key here is that Jesus has loved us first. That's how we really even have a clue in understanding what real true love is. This is how we are empowered and equipped to love, namely by first being loved and being on the receiving end of Christ's love for us. We love because he first loved us. John says that in his epistle. In the gospel, we learn how and how exceedingly much Christ has loved us. John chapter 13 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." He loved them to the end. He loved them to the utmost degree. And Jesus loves them until he reaches his Father's goal. He loved them to the very, very end. Now the hour has come. This was the hour that Jesus would bring the completion, the saving mission that he had been set on even before the beginning of time. Jesus would go to the cross and hand it over to death to be accomplishing what was needed for the life of the world. Jesus knows all what's going to be set in action. His betrayal, arrest, his suffering, just miserable crucifixion and pain, and doing it all for one purpose, our salvation. What greater sign of love than that? How much Jesus loves you is summed up actually in John chapter 15. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid his life down for his friends. That's what Jesus is doing for us. That's the goal that we reached when Jesus cries out from the cross, "It is finished." So Jesus' love comes first. His love is essential, vital, and necessary, preceding and producing everything else. All our love then comes from his loving us first. That's how we need to hear Jesus' words, to keep his commandments, by loving one another. It's not a cold command in a vacuum. It's not a command that we have to keep doing to win our salvation. No, that's not it at all. Our salvation already has been won. He has paid the price that we could not even be close to handling. A burden that only Christ himself could bear through all of his suffering and dying for us. Christ, the one and only Son of God, shed his holy, precious blood for all sinners, everywhere, for all times, from the beginning to when Christ returns again. Every time I tell that to people, I can't take it on. It's just overwhelms me that he has done this for everyone. So that's how Jesus commanded us to love one another, not in a vacuum, but in that warm embrace of his arms around us, forgiving us, and forgiving us the love of doing it in Christ. So how do you carry out that command? Do you need some help, perhaps, to carry out that command? You bet, I do too. My selfish, sinful nature battles me and tries to keep me from loving others with selfless love. I have this internal struggle between that old, sinful Adam and the new person I am in Christ. I bet most of you do too. But take heart. God will be there with you to help you with that struggle. Listen to what Jesus says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. So besides Jesus himself, you have another helper. And he's right there next to you, by your side for all times. The Holy Spirit, also called the Spirit of Truth. The helper, the comforter, the counselor, the one who walks with you. You are not alone on this journey, and certainly not alone during the struggle, which we all have. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. We all know where that began. When you went through baptism, when you grows out of those waters and words, triune words, replaced upon you, water and spirit, and the Holy Spirit is then upon you. That's where he started with you. So right here and right now, we also have the Holy Spirit on us, which comes to us through God's word. Another means of grace, strengthen our faith for God and in fervent love. So this is how we are a living, loving family. First, by knowing and receiving Christ's love. And then secondly, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And for those times when we fail and stumble in being loving people, as we are meant to be, God loves us even more than forgives us. And right here, he is to restore us and renew us. A loving family. And that's who we are in the church. And on top of that, we are a living family. I mean, really living as a family. We have been raised up with the very life of Christ. Again, listen to what Jesus says. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On the night Jesus said that, he told his disciples he was about to leave them. Indeed, that very night he would be betrayed, arrested, and handed over into death. They would mourn. They would weep. They had lost their master. They had lost part of their family, just now. As you have received the most portion of your family. And Jesus then promises them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And when would that happen? On Easter. On the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead, and then they will see him again. The disciples will see the risen Lord physically present with them. That's the whole theme of the Easter season. The first Sunday, we hear about Jesus being in a locked upper room to help strengthen the faith of Thomas. Just incident after incident where Jesus then is with his disciples. The Lord physically present in their midst. He will be with them, at least now that we're into the seventh week, another week, until his ascension to heaven. But they know that Jesus is risen, and he has won the victory over sin and death, and lives forever. And this is very, very good news for us. Even though we cannot see with our eyes now Jesus, we know and believe that he indeed is risen from the dead. And by that same gospel word, we also know that all who believe and are baptized into Christ will share in his resurrection. Thank God. I mean, really, take it to the bank. This promise is utterly reliable. You can't stake your life on it. Jesus lives and you will live as well. Your loved ones who have died in the Lord are alive in Christ. And Jesus will raise them up bodily, not just spiritually. That's a promise that's given to us and shown to us in the Bible over and over again. Death is not the end of the story. No, by no means. It's Christ's victory over death that is ours. New life now and life eternal. This is the life that Christ gives to us and all who trust in him. And so, this living, loving family that we are all part of is not the limit or extent of Christ's church. And his family extends to all corners of the earth and throughout the reaches of history. When Christ returns, we will begin to see how great this family is. From every tribe and nation and language and people. And even now, we join in praise of God with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven. Dear friends, just because Jesus lives and loves, that's the reason why we can also live and love. So brothers and sisters in Christ, let this promise, this guarantee that we have from our living, loving Lord sink into your ears today and also dwell in your heart. Because I live, you also will live. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over you. Hallelujah. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.